We're always thankful for the verses, as we know that there's been some effort put forth by the mothers and the fathers and the children. And that's the most important thing that you will ever learn, is God's Word, because it's eternal and it keeps from sin and it's powerful and it's a discerner of yourself. There's no one else can discern you like the Word of God can. So you're doing a wonderful thing by learning God's Word. I'm glad I learned God's Word when I was younger. The things that I know the best about God's Word are the things that I learned when I was the youngest. So today I have a little message about a word that we had in one of our songs. I appreciated all the songs today that we sang. I got a little bit out of voice, but it was wonderful anyway. But there's a word in one of the songs, and it's in the book of Malachi, chapter 3. And it's something that God is going to gather when he comes back again. Malachi 3 and 16. I believe that somebody mentioned this verse on Wednesday night in reference to our prayer meeting where we had testimonies and exhortations and talking to one another about the Lord. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name." And then it goes on and says, "And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels." Now that's an interesting way of putting it, and I haven't really researched that part where it says, "When I make up my jewels," but you have the thought of gathering, and you have the thought of the Lord finding his jewels and bringing them to himself. And them being a part of his own and his choice possession. He said, "They shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not." I believe this is pointing forward to the day when the Lord, not only in that day when he made up his church on earth and began it on earth, but it's also talking to a day in the future when the Lord calls his own home to be with him. We want to be there, don't we? We don't want to be missing, as the song said. That word in the chorus of that song. I want to know that he will welcome me there. I do not want to be denied. Well, that word jewels is mentioned in Exodus chapter 19, where God spoke to Moses and he revealed his plan and his plan and his care for his people. Exodus 19 and 4. In verse 3 it says, "Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings, and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine, and ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel." This word, a peculiar treasure, is the same word in the Hebrew. It's the same word as the one that I just read in Malachi, jewels. It's the very same word, and it means something that is closely shut up or guarded. Wealth, when a person has wealth and they don't want it to be disturbed or pilfered or stolen, they put it in a special place. People put it into banks nowadays and have it guarded. Whenever you have a business that's making a lot of cash and you need that cash taken to the bank, do you just take it to the bank? A lot of businesses hire these armored vehicles to take their money from their store over to the bank or vice versa. But just think, God wanted his people to be his jewel, his guarded, closed up treasure, his wealth. That's what he said, this was what I want you to be. I want you to be, if you'll keep my covenant and obey my voice, you will be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And he went on and said, you'll be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Well, that was fine and good for the Israelites, but how did that turn out? How did it happen over and over that they didn't obey his voice? And yet he would keep working with them, and he would keep drawing them, and he would send. He said, I sent my prophets. I would get them up early and send them unto you, and you wouldn't obey them. Finally, he sent his own son. He still wanted a people. He wanted a people who would be his peculiar treasure. He wanted a people that would be his jewels. And he still, according to what we read there in Malachi, pointing to the future, there is a day when he's going to make up his jewels. He still wants a people. He's calling today for a people who will be a holy people. Let's look there in the New Testament now, 1 Peter chapter 2. He says, it's just like he's referring right back to what we just read in Exodus 19. In 1 Peter chapter 2, he says in verse 9, well, let's look at verse 5 and 6 first. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. God is still calling for us to be a holy nation and a holy priesthood. He said in verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Remember the definition of that word jewels and that word peculiar treasure. It means something that's guarded, something that's kept shut up and from a defilement and from anything that would disturb it or ruin it. That's what he said here. You're the people, you're my people now. I beseech you to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. He said you're a holy priesthood in verse 5 and a royal priesthood in verse 9. What is it that has made us priests? How does that happen? Back then, they had priests that served the temple, and they were to teach, as we brought this out several weeks ago, they were to teach the people God's law. They were to serve the temple. They were to be God's chosen. Now he's calling us a kingdom of priests and a royal priesthood. Let's look here in Revelations chapter 1, Verse 5. Well, I'll start with verse 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Now, this is the New Testament. This is God speaking, or John speaking, the revelation of Jesus Christ and his message to the church. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. That word seven spirits, it designates the completeness of God. It doesn't designate seven different gods, but it is the Spirit of God represented by a number that meant complete. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So here we have where he has made us kings and priests. He has washed us from our sins in his own blood. Again in chapter 5 and verse 10 or verse 9. They sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now, this is God's plan for his people now. It's not a future age. He has made us kings and priests now. He has made us to reign on the earth. What are we reigning over? He's given us a kingdom. We reign over sin. He said in Romans 6, sin shall not have dominion over you. He has made us by his own blood kings and priests in the earth. That's a very powerful agent that has done that for us, to wash us from our sins. By giving up his lifeblood, and he gave himself for us as a propitiation or an atonement for our sins, we can come to him and trust in him and count our sins as gone and delivered, and us as righteous in his sight because of the gift that he has given. You can read all of that in Romans 5 and 6 and 7. He has given us this free gift of grace to cover our sins and to cleanse us. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Above that in verse 7. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So I'm thankful today that the Lord has called us to be a holy nation and a royal priesthood, a peculiar treasure or jewels unto him. Not just back then as the Israelites, not only in the future, but now we're kings and priests and a holy nation. He has called us. Let's see, there's another scripture that comes to my mind, and I believe it's 1 Thessalonians, where it says chapter 4 and verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. This is the call for God's people. It was back there, and they went against it. They did not keep his covenant or obey his words. But he prophesied. He prophesied in Ezekiel chapter 36. I love this prophecy because I believe it has come true. In Ezekiel 36 and verse 25, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. Well, we know that water in Ephesians 5, he said, the washing of water by the word. That sprinkling of our lives is when we begin to take his word and apply it. It cleanses us. It cleanses our actions. It washes us. You shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So we have his precious blood that cleanses us from sin. Then we have, in obedience to the word of God, that creates a cleansing of our actions and our deeds. It washes us. He said, and a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. So his people back there, they were called to holiness. They were called to be his precious jewels if they would obey him. But they didn't. Over and over, they didn't. And he said, I wanted you. I wanted you to be a precious treasure unto me. And he still wants that. He still wants a holy people that will be separate unto him from the corruption that's in the world. He doesn't want us. He said to his to God in prayer, to his Father in prayer, I do not pray that thou wouldst take them out of the world, but thou wouldst keep them from what? The evil that is in the world. Do you think that Jesus would pray a prayer like that with no intention to carry it out? He went to Calvary to carry it out so that we could be his holy nation, kept from the evil of this world. It is his will that we be a holy nation, and we're called to holiness. And he has made this covenant with us that he would sprinkle us with clean water, cleanse us from our idols, give us a new heart, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. He's not talking about a heart of carnality here. It means a soft heart as opposed to a hard heart. That's what the word flesh here means. It means soft. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. That is the difference between those people back there who were given a law and said, if you do this, you'll live. If you do this, you'll be my people. But they didn't have the Spirit within them to do that. But he has sent the Holy Spirit now, that if we who believe will come to him and ask him to fill us with his Holy Spirit, he will come, and he will also be a cleansing agent in our lives. The word, the blood, and the Spirit, those working together in our lives, they make us the holy nation and the holy people that he has called us to be. I believe in that. So I really appreciate how that when God saves someone, he puts that longing in their hearts. I want to be holy. I want to be pure. I want to be kept from sin. He has called us. Oh, he's given us so many promises. But this is one of the most precious ones, is this, where he says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. How we need to cry out to him for his Holy Spirit. The disciples did. Jesus, when he began to prepare to leave this world, he told his people, let's look at that in John chapter 14. He said in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. You know, you don't see poor lost sinners coming and saying, oh, give me the Holy Spirit. They can't. They can't receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must come into a vessel that's repented and been forgiven and cleansed from sin. Then the Holy Spirit can come and fill that temple that's been cleaned. He says here, the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. The Holy Spirit is the agent that works your salvation and draws you to Christ. That's what Jesus said in another place. No man can come unto the Father except come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Through the Spirit, every one of us have been drawn to Christ. So you can say he's with us, but he wants to fill us. He wants to be within us. I will put my Spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. We're called to holiness, but we can't fulfill that call like the children of Israel. We can't fulfill that call like we are unless we have the Holy Spirit within us. And when we ask him, Jesus said, how was it that he told us whenever we were to pray? I believe it's Luke. I'm going to come back to John 14, but I want to get this where he told us to pray for the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 12 and 13. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? It can't be given to the world. It can't be given to those who are out there sinning and living in the pleasures of sin. But when we come to him, I believe over here in Acts, where Peter was preaching to the people, Acts chapter 5, I believe it is. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That's what his whole plan was. He chose us in him, Ephesians chapter 1. He chose us in him that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He chose us before the foundation of the world. That's the call, is for his people to be holy. He made this plan, and he called his people back then to be his special treasure, and they went against him. He still has this plan for his people. He wants a holy nation. So he's made all the things available for us that we might fulfill that calling. He called us to holiness, not uncleanness. He's given us of his Spirit. He said, ask, repent, be baptized, and then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He'll give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. It is his will for us to receive his Holy Spirit. That's his plan. That's what he has given us in Christ, is the Holy Spirit. There was a place in Acts where the disciples went over to Ephesus, and the brother there that had been teaching the people there at Ephesus, let's see. I'm looking here. They're at Samaria. Acts chapter 8 and 14. Then there was another place at Ephesus, so I'll get that in just a minute. When the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They were believers. They had been baptized, but they had not received the gift of the Holy Ghost yet. It says, as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Another place, it tells about where, let's see. They came and they asked the disciples if they had received the Holy Ghost. And they said, we didn't know there was one. I haven't found that. If anybody wants to tell me where that is, I didn't find that yet. Well, then they taught them about the Holy Ghost and found him precious to them also. Oh, I thank the Lord for that precious promise. Back to John 14, Jesus said, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Verse 17, I will not leave you orphans or comfortless. I will come to you. Then he says in verse 26 of John 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Acts 19. I wasn't looking far enough. Thank you. Acts 19, the disciples came there to Ephesus. Came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not heard as whether... We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism, repentance, repenting of their sins. And they were washed as a symbol that they had left the old life and repented of their sins. Paul, when he laid his hands upon them, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. They, as well as the ones there in Acts 2, they received the ability to speak a language and praise the Lord in another language that someone else could understand and know that they were speaking about the Lord. They prophesied. There were 12 of them who prophesied and spoke with other languages. So we have these examples in the scripture where God gave his spirit to those who had believed on him. Let's go back to John 14. The Comforter will teach you all things. Let's see, now I want to go to 16, John 16. Verse 13, verse 12, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot hear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. All of these things are the blessing that God has promised by sending us the Holy Spirit. In the last part of the book of Luke, Luke chapter 24 and verse 49, Jesus told his disciples, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And then when you look there in the book of Acts, chapter 1, this very same scene of him just about to leave and rise up into the air, he told them, it's recorded this way, being assembled, verse 4, with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait, like he said in Luke, tarry in the city of Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, that's in their city, and then in Judea, that would be like us in Danville, and then in our state of Kentucky, and then in Samaria, that's the next state over, like in Ohio, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. He wants us to wait before him until we have been baptized by the Holy Spirit. He promised that to us, and that is what he had promised back in Ezekiel, that he would put his spirit in us and cause us to walk in his ways. That's the only way that I know that we can maintain the holiness that he gave us by washing us from our sins, is by walking in the light of that spirit that he gives us. He said, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us, cleanseth, perfect, present, cleansing that is maintained, and it's maintained by walking in the light that Holy Spirit guides us in. He said he'll guide you into all truth. The Spirit will cause you to walk in my ways and to obey, however it was that he said that in Ezekiel. So these things he has spoken to us, Jesus said, that we would have fullness of joy. And I do this morning rejoice in what the Lord has provided for us. When he comes again, he's going to come for jewels that he has kept from the corruption of this world. And he keeps us by his power of the Holy Spirit. When he comes again, he's coming for a church that is not just a part of this world and looks like the world and acts like the world, but he's coming for people that he has redeemed out of the world. Jesus said, as I said a while ago, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but thou shouldest keep them from the evil that is in the world. Ephesians chapter 5, where he speaks about a husband and a wife's relationship being a mystery and pointing to Christ and the church. He said there in verse 25, Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. If ever there was a challenge to husbands, that would be it, wouldn't it? To love their wives as Christ loved the church. And the challenge is that the wife would be subject to her husband. For us wives, that's the challenge, as the church is subject unto Christ in everything. You know, that's quite a challenge in those two verses. But it says Christ gave himself for the church that he might sanctify. That means make it holy. We're people that were lost in sin, born into sin, have a nature of sin. How is somebody going to make them holy? Jesus did with his blood. Jesus does with his spirit, and he does with his word. When we obey his word, when the Spirit helps us and gives us power to obey his word, it keeps us holy. That he might sanctify, make it holy, and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's what he's talking about when he said, when I make up my jewels, when I come, I'm coming for people who are holy and without blemish. Now, I know that people have said it's arrogance to profess that you can be this way. Well, I just say it with fear and trembling. Lord, I want to be part of that. Don't you? I want to be a part of that. When he makes up his jewels, like Paul said, I don't feel like, many times I don't feel like I've attained, but I follow after and I press toward the mark. And I walk in his light as much as I understand. And as much as we can see and know that there's corruption in something, there's part of this world, we separate ourselves from it. That's why people of God live the very careful lives that they live. That's why we don't do some things and don't go some places and don't watch things and don't listen to some things and don't wear some things. It's because we have a strong desire to be kept by the Lord. I'll get some other scriptures come to my mind. But the Lord sends his Holy Spirit to purify our hearts, to cleanse us. And one of the ways that he does it, the Holy Spirit has been designated like a fire. Have you seen that in the scriptures? That book of Malachi, it talks about that he would be... Let me find that again. He said, "Behold, I will send my messenger." He is like a refiner's fire. That's the Holy Spirit. He's like a fuller's soap and a refiner's fire, and he'll sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. That's the Lord's treasure. That's his jewel. And the Lord's sending the Holy Spirit into our lives to refine us and to purge us. He does that through the trials of life. He refines us as gold is refined. He purges us. It says he will purge them. He'll purify the sons of Levi. That's the holy priesthood, isn't it? The priesthood was the sons of Levi. That's us today. He's made us kings and priests. He sent his Holy Spirit to help us, to purify us and to refine us. And he uses the trials and the hard places of life to do that. He sends us fire in our lives. He'll sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He shall purify the sons of Levi, purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. That's just what we read in 1 Peter 2. They offer unto the Lord sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. How was it that we read that? You see how the scriptures are so intertwined? They're like a puzzle. The Old Testament and the New Testament just fits right together. I love that. The Old Testament, it calls and it predicts and it prophesies, and the New Testament takes those prophecies and promises and shows how they're applied through Christ. So wonderful. It says here, "Ye as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices." I believe he's pointing right back over here to Malachi, where it says that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Oh, thank the Lord. He wants his people to worship him in spirit and in truth. He wants us to be purged in our hearts, and he will do that with his Holy Spirit. I remember a time where we had some very difficult sickness in our home. And always before, the Lord had just given me scriptures or songs to prepare me for a difficult time. This time I had nothing, and I remember being desperate, quite desperate. I think it was Joseph that was sick, very sick for weeks, very sick. And we didn't know what to do about it. And I just felt like one night I was doing the dishes real late at night. Everybody had gone to bed, maybe except Dan. And I just leaned into the water just like this. And I just said, "Lord, you've always spoken to me about these trials. And I don't hear anything. Please speak to me." And I finished the dishes and I went to bed, and still nothing. And early in the morning, the word of God came to my mind and woke me up. Woke me up. I sat just right up in bed like this. And this scripture from Ephesians was in my mind, where he said that he might present it unto himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And I thought of what my words had been the night before as I leaned into the dishwater, and I had said, "Lord, I feel so pressed. I feel such pressure." And whenever the Lord gave me this scripture, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle. And I just said, "Oh." Oh, a wrinkle is pressed out. It's pressed out with steam and with heat and with pressure. And I just said, "Oh, that, thank you, Lord. That's the word that I needed." And then he gave me another word right on top of that, where he said, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." This is 1 John 3:1-2. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Oh, the Lord knows what he's doing. When he sends us the trials, it's some of that Holy Spirit's pressure to drive the wrinkles out from us. And I just thought, Lord, I've wanted different faults and failings in my life to be removed. There's only one way, and that's through your pressure that you put on us to remove those wrinkles. Another thing that the Holy Spirit is to us is fuel to help keep our light burning. And I won't go to it, but remember the story that Jesus told about the wise and foolish virgins? What was the difference for those who were ready to meet him and had their light still burning? What was the difference? It was that they had purchased extra fuel and had it with them. And when their lights went out during the tarrying time, well, before their lights went out, or anyway, they had extra fuel. And that's the difference between those who seek God for his Spirit and those who profess to be Christians but do not have the Holy Spirit to guide them. They've never asked him. He's never filled them. He's never baptized them. He doesn't work in their lives to press them and to press out the wrinkles and to purge and purify them. They just go through life. I'm a Christian, but they don't. They need that one thing, that fuel to keep their lights really burning. I appreciate the press and the desire of the people of God for this. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. I want him to work in me. I want to be holy. I want to be in the Lord's church. I want to be part of his holy people. Hebrews chapter 12 tells that in salvation he has brought us to Mount Zion. In verse 12 and 22, you are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. They're right here this morning listening to the word of God and observing the Christians as they worship. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn. The firstborn is Jesus. Which are written in heaven. And to God, the judge of all. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. This is the people of God. This is the treasure, the jewels that he has. I think about, and let me just get another one. The Lord's just given me quite a bit in my heart today. Psalms 15, just to reference this. Who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly. When he talks about this, he's not just talking about the old Jerusalem. He's talking about this Mount Zion that we have come to today in salvation. He's talking about that holy hill. That's the people of God. That's where his presence is. And his spirit lives within our hearts. Ephesians 2, he talks about how that we're built up. A holy temple. Ephesians 2 and 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. That's by the Spirit of God. That's by his cleansing. He's done that for us. Praise the Lord. Yes. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. See how that goes along with 1 Peter 2? How that he has made us built up together, lively stones. Jesus being the chief cornerstone. In whom, verse 21... In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord. In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. This is wonderful. The Spirit of God dwells in each one of us who have received his Holy Spirit and been filled with it. But he also, when we come together and we worship, what do you feel? You feel that Spirit. It's in us as a collection, a builded together of lively saved people who are lively stones, living sacrifices, wholly yielded to God, lives pure and free by his precious blood. We come together and that Spirit is within us. And it's, Jesus said, you're a city that's set on a hill. It can't be hid. Why? There's a light. There's a light burning within each of us and within us as a group, as a corporate body. The Spirit of God shining out to the world. The Spirit of God. There in Psalms 50, it says, out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. That's what he does. He comes into us so that he can shine out of us, so that he guides us into all truth, so that we can be a people who exemplify the truth, who shine it out to the people. The people in the world may not like it at times. Have you ever noticed that whenever you've stood for truth in your heart, that someone maybe next to you feels judged? They do, because it's because you've got something in you that's shining out. And they feel that shines into their lives. Sometimes people feel condemned just being around a person that's just full of Jesus. Why? Because they did the same thing around Jesus. His Spirit, it enlightens them. It shows, many times it shows people their sins. Have you ever been around somebody and after a while they begin to say, oh, excuse my language. You didn't tell them that you don't use bad language. They just... somehow they realized it. It was the Holy Spirit shining out the light and the truth and condemning their language. That's happened many, many times. I've seen that happen. He makes us a habitation of God through the Spirit. You know, the children love to play with Legos. And I've often imagined Legos get clear ones, a whole bunch of clear ones, and just make a house. And then put inside it, put a glowing light. And you can look into that and you can see that light shining out because all the Legos are clear. That's God's church. That would give you a picture of God's church, is clear Legos made into a building. And then out of that building is the light of God shining. So whenever you think of this scripture now, just think about Legos. And that'll help you to get the picture of what God is saying here. This is God's peculiar treasure. These are his jewels. They shine and flash in his light in the world. He's looking for his jewels. He looks down and he says, oh, there's my people. There's my people. That's a scripture, by the way. It's also in Malachi. It says something like this. No, it's not Malachi. It's the book before that, Zechariah. I will bring the third part through the fire and will refine them as silver is refined and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name and I will hear them. I will say, that's my people. And they will say, the Lord is my God. God is still looking for a holy people today. I want to be in that number, don't you? The old song says, oh Lord, I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number that's on that holy hill. I want to be on that number that's in the New Jerusalem. Let me finish with that one there in Revelations where it says about the bride of Christ. And we know we were talking about that in Ephesians 5 where he said that he may present it to himself a glorious church. Here's a picture of that. The one speaking to John said, in verse 9, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of God, out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. That's what he has as his jewels. He said, it's my wife. It's the Lamb's wife. It's the New Jerusalem. It's the people of God. It's the jewels of God. Back chapter 19, he talks about the lamb's wife. Verse 7, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. God wants us to be a holy people, a holy nation, separate. He said, dearly beloved, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Kept, I will keep you. He said, I will keep you safely, hide you in a pavilion. I'm going to keep them by the power of God. You're kept by the power of God through faith. I pray not that thou wouldest take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil of the world. That's the righteousness. That's not our righteousness. Ours is as filthy rags, but his righteousness is that fine linen that he's tried us, he's refined us, doing it constantly, pressed us with the iron of trials and tribulations. It's all for that precious jewel that he wants. He said, in that day, when I make up my jewels. We just sang that a little bit ago. I think I've got a book in here. Nope. I wanted to just sing, just quote that song that we sang a while ago, number 480. He's coming back again, his jewels to claim. They shall receive eternal rest. That's what we're all living for. There's a song that was written years ago that says, when he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Let me sing that. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his bright crown adorning, they shall shine.